My name is Stephen Winterbottom, and I'm the Managing Director of Tozer Seeds Limited.
Stephen, thanks so much for sitting down with me. Very much appreciated. You work for Tozer Seeds. Can you share some exciting innovations in the pipeline of Tozer?
Well, you know, we are a small company, so we have to be careful what we do with our breeding. And we have a reputation for coming out with some fairly amazing innovations. We were the first company to have hybrid parsnips and hybrid celery all many years ago. And more recently, we developed a product called Kalette, which is a cross between a Brussels sprout and a kale, which if you go to America at the moment, the two in products are Brussels sprouts and kale. Not that we developed it necessarily for America, but this is a product that would seem to sort of suit some of the modern trends of healthy eating.
Definitely. Yeah, now that sounds very interesting. When you visit the US, you know, every bar has some kale drink on the on the menu somewhere. So yeah, it's definitely a.
And when you go to a restaurant and the maitre d' comes out with a basket full of Brussels sprouts and says, tonight we have these, that is also a bit strange for a European who generally tends to think, ah, Brussels sprouts, don't really know whether I like those or not.
It's good. It's good. And you're obviously based in the UK, but there's some uncertain times in the UK with Brexit hanging over us, over all of us, I would say. How do you feel about the whole process?
Well, from a personal perspective and from a company perspective as well, we pretty much thought it was a disaster. In terms of, at the moment, if you look at our markets, our biggest market is effectively the EU, which wasn't an export market, but is and will become an export market. And so we are where at the moment we can put seeds in a bag, in a box, on a pallet and just send it. After Brexit, we really don't know. And with less than 3 weeks to go, we still don't know what's going to happen. So in terms of difficulties for Tozer and for Tozer's European customers, it's very difficult times. And I guess we're not really going to know what's happening until perhaps November the 1st.
I heard it more often today that the uncertainty is really getting to all of us. That is probably the biggest hurdle.
Yeah, and I think we have another problem, of course, that if you take it outside of the seed trade, of course, the referendum is now 3 years ago, and it's pretty much been debated nonstop for 3 years. Yeah. So most of the country is absolutely fed up with Brexit, you know. And I'm not saying that it's the right way to go, but there are some people that would now think, well, we just need something to happen. We even need another referendum, which, of course, anybody that voted for Brexit wouldn't like, or we just get on with it and we just move forward. At the moment, it seems a little bit like that movie Groundhog Day, where you're playing the same day over and over and over again, and it really doesn't help in trying to organize your business.
So how did you prepare your company for Brexit?
Well, as you know, Marcel, we are a very small business. We're still a family business, and that has its problems. But in recent times, we have opened various subsidiaries. So our breeding is all done in the UK. But as I said to you earlier, our biggest markets are in the EU. But we have an office and warehouse in Spain, a company called Tozer Iberica. And we also have an office and warehouse in the US, in California, and we've just started a business in Asia. So effectively, our view is that we have these other subsidiaries around the world, which, you know, we need to do more work with. And as far as Brexit is concerned, of course, our Spanish business is within the EU and is an EU business. So that will come more into play if there is a no-deal Brexit. So we have a warehouse, we have an office function, we have a PD function, we can do some of the breeding work there. So effectively, there will be more emphasis on doing things in Europe should a no-deal Brexit move us in that direction.
Yeah. I've been hearing a lot about the downsides a Brexit. Are there any upsides to Brexit?
Well, I've just bought a car that's a Brexit car. that's another story. But in terms of the business, yes, I think if there are always positives to take from everything. And I think what we've had to do is look more at our business. Mm. So we may not like the idea of Brexit, but what Brexit has done has made us look at what we do and how we do it. And can we do things differently? Can we do things more efficiently? Mm-hmm. Where are our markets now? When I joined the company in 1982, back when you were a boy, we had probably 90% plus of our business in the UK. Mm. Now, somewhere around 60% of our business is somewhere else in the world. So we've changed. So we're no longer just reliant on one market. Mm-hmm. We, as I said, we have our subsidiaries. We've had to look at operating those more efficiently. We've had to look at becoming a more global company, albeit in a fairly small way, because, you know, we are a family business still.
Yes, and I'd like to hook on to that a little bit. Of course, between all the sea giants, it cannot always be easy, but I'm sure there are also opportunities and advantages to that.
Yeah, well, I've never ever worked for anything other than family businesses, so I'm not even familiar with what the activities of working for a big company are. But I would like to think that with smaller businesses that we're more maneuverable. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if we want to make a decision, two or three people meet in the room and pretty much the decision's made. So we can be flexible, we can be quick. We have to be that way because our competition are all over us. And mm-hmm. We've basically positioned ourselves as a niche company. So we work on, if you like, those products that the big companies have been less interested in. Mm. And our two biggest species, for instance, are parsnips and celery, which are probably not big enough markets for lots of the bigger companies to look at. But if you absolutely sort of dominate your niche, you can have a very good business looking after that. And where we started just working in the UK with parsnips and celery 30 odd years ago, we're now selling parsnips and celery seed just about everywhere in the world. It's amazing where Europeans have gone and taken their tastes, because we're selling parsnips in Australia, New Zealand, America, Canada. And who would have thought that even the Chinese have got an interest in parsnips and celery? Yeah, so small world.
Yeah, very nice to see that. And hence, exciting innovations such as K-Lite and
yes,
and
yeah.
Others. Brilliant.
That's a bit more of a sort of blue sky product. But yes, it's you know, that's what we need to do. We need to be sort of coming up with things that perhaps others aren't looking at.
Excellent. Good luck with it. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.